Mark 4, verse 35 to 41. It writes and says, on that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him, Jesus, with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he, Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And the disciples woke him up and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? This is a very well-known passage of scripture that many of us would probably know off by heart. It's a well-known passage of scripture and a well-known story that we would have heard many, many times. And for many of us here this morning, the reality is that we might be in a similar situation. You might be here this morning and you have some storms in your life. You might be here this morning and the wind and waves of life are knocking you back and forth, are overwhelming you, are causing anxiety, fear, stress in your lives. For many of us, we've experienced these types of storms in our lives. And for many of us right here today, we might be in a season or a situation where we have a storm in our life. The truth is this. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. Every single one of us at some stage in our life will experience storms. You and I might not be like the disciples where we are in a literal boat. But you and I will have these moments where the wind comes, where the wave comes, and we begin to feel overwhelmed. And like the disciples, panic creeps in. Fear creeps in. Anxiety creeps into our heart. And we don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. We feel like we're running out of options. And if you read this passage of scripture, it says that the boat had already started filling. So the disciples had already been going through the storm and they tried their best in their own ability and their own capacity to manage the storm, to weather the storm. They tried their best to fix the situation themselves, but eventually they got to a place where they were overwhelmed and they'd run out of options. And we might even be like the disciples this morning where we ask the question, God, do you even care? Are you even hearing me? Are you even seeing me? Maybe the winds and waves of your storm and your situation and your circumstance have led you to even doubt who God is and whether he cares about you. The disciples who had walked with Jesus, the disciples who knew Jesus, the disciples who saw him perform all these incredible miracles, who sat under his teaching, even those very disciples, the people closest to him, in that moment of stress, in that moment of anxiety, in that moment of fear, in the moment when they felt overwhelmed by the storms, the disciples themselves looked at Jesus and woke him up. And the first thing they said to him is, do you not care that we are perishing? And for some of us this morning, we're starting to doubt whether God even hears us. And we're starting to doubt whether God even cares about your storm, about your situation, about what you're facing. And you might be here this morning and your head is telling you, I know better. If these men that walked alongside Jesus, that saw him face to face, that witnessed him raising the dead, walking on water, if these very men, under the wrong situations, under the wrong pressures, if they were even led to question whether he cares, I want to encourage you this morning. Don't feel you're above that. If the disciples looked at Jesus and said, do you even care? Maybe it's okay if we ask God the same question this morning. God, do you not see my storm? Do you not see my situation? Do you not see, God, that I have come to the end of myself and I am overwhelmed? I am filled with panic and fear and anxiety. I don't know where to go and what to do. God, do you even care? The disciples said to Jesus, we are perishing. We are perishing. And there might be a part of you this morning that feels like you're dying. It might be a hope. It might be a dream. It might be believing the best. There is a part of your heart that feels like it is dying. You've tried to survive the storm. You've tried your best to hang on. But just like the disciples, maybe you've come to a point where you feel, God, I can't do it any longer. I can't carry on. And it says the disciples came to the end of themselves and woke Jesus up. And Jesus, he wakes up and he looks at the wind and wave and he says this, peace. Be still. It's such an interesting thing to say. I would have expected him to have commanded the wind and wave to go. I would have expected him to look at the storm and say, stop. But Jesus looks at the wind, looks at the wave, looks at the situation and the circumstance. He looks at the challenges. He looks to the storm and he says to the storm, peace. And I believe that that is what Jesus is wanting to do here today in every single one of our storms, in every area of your life where you feel like you're perishing, in every area of your life where you feel like you're overwhelmed, in every area of your life where there is anxiety, where there is fear, where there is depression, in every area of your life where there is a storm, I believe Jesus is wanting to come into that situation this morning and speak peace. Peace is not the absence of the wind and the waves. For many of us, we want God to solve the situation. We want God to change the circumstance. We want God to fix things. But peace is not the absence of the storm. Peace is the presence of Jesus with you in the storm. Peace is the person of Jesus in the wind and the waves with you. For many of us this morning, we often feel, God, if you could answer this one prayer, God, if you could fix this one thing, God, if you could only do that, God, when this happens, then. And we spend our lives waiting for the perfect conditions, waiting for the seas to be open and calm, waiting for our life to be in the right, perfect conditions. But the truth is this, I don't know if life will ever give you the perfect conditions. And I am convinced that it's not about the conditions being perfect. It's about the perfect person of Jesus being alongside you, being in you and with you in every condition. If we spend our lives waiting for the perfect conditions before we do anything, before we go anywhere, maybe for some of us what we have to do this morning is wake Jesus up in our own hearts and say, Jesus, I feel like I'm perishing. I feel like you don't care and I need your help. And as he arises in our hearts this morning, he's going to look at your wind. He's going to look at your wave. He's going to look at your storm and say, peace. Peace is not the absence of the storm. It's the presence of the Prince of Peace in the storm with us. So stop trying to change your situation. Stop trying to manage your problem. Invite the person of Jesus into the storm with you and let him give you the greatest gift he can give you. Peace. John 16, verse 33, Jesus says this, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus says to you and I, you will have tribulation. The word tribulation means trouble, means pressure, means affliction, means distress. Jesus promises you and I that we will have storms in life. So when a storm comes, don't be surprised. When a storm comes, don't think this isn't the will of God. When a storm comes, don't start panicking and worrying and stressing. When a storm comes, remember that Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. In this world, you will have troubles. In this world, you will have hardships. Your heart will be broken. You will be disappointed. You will be discouraged. You will be challenged. You will be opposed. You will go through things you never thought you would have to go through. This is the promise from God. He's not hiding this from us. And sometimes as Christians, we think, why are bad things happening to me? We live in a fallen world. And Jesus says you will have storms. So if you're finding yourself in a storm, stop playing the blame game where you're trying to blame people or blame yourself or blame God. Rather stand in that storm and go, God, you told me about this, but it's not about the wind and the waves around me. It's about the one inside of me. He promises storms, but he also promises that you and I will have peace. But he says that in me you will have peace. And here's the challenge, this peace that we long for, this peace that we desire, this peace that is a promise from God can only be found in the person of Jesus. And peace is sometimes the most underrated, misunderstood thing. Jesus himself identifies himself as the Prince of Peace. And it's a promise that he has for you and I. The challenge that you and I often have in this world around us is that we try and define peace in the world and the things of the world. We try and find peace in becoming more successful. And you chase success, hoping that it'll give you some sense of peace. We try to find peace in money, and we hope that money will give us security, and that security will make us feel at peace. We try to find peace in relationships. And for many of us, we get caught up in brokenness because we're trying to find this peace. So many of us this morning have tried to find peace in so many different places, in so many different things. But you and I know that at best, it's a quick fix. And ultimately, we find ourselves right back where we started. And sometimes, if we're honest, even worse off. Battered and bruised, broken, hurt, trying to find peace in the world around us. There is nothing in this world or of this world that can give us true lasting peace. Don't think that when your situation or your circumstance changes, you will find peace. Don't tell yourself it's just a season I'm going through. Jesus says, in me you will have peace. True, lasting, eternal peace can only be found in an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus. There was no peace without Jesus in that boat. Jesus says this in John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I want you to know this morning that peace is God's promise to every single one of us. The world cannot give us peace. The world gives us trouble and tribulation. The world gives us fear and anxiety. The world gives us stress and depression. The world sends the storm, but it is the voice of Jesus being with us and in us that gives us peace. And the beauty of it is that this peace is not just for some of us. You might be here this morning and think that peace is for someone else. This peace is a promise that God gives to every single one of us. Paul writes and says this in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. He says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all." It's so beautiful. Paul says the Lord of peace desires, God, Jesus himself, desires to give you, every single one of us, all of us, peace at all times in every way. It is not some limited portion of peace. It's not some diluted version of peace. He wants you and I, all of us, to have peace at all times, in every way. This is His promise for you and I. This is His portion for you and I, to be a people marked by peace. But then Paul puts the key right at the end there. He says, "The Lord be with you all." This is the key to peace. God being with us. As He was with the disciples in their boat, He wants to be with you and I in every situation, in every circumstance, everywhere, at all times. When the Lord is with us, He gives us the gift and the promise of peace. Another translation puts it so beautifully. May the Lord Himself, the Lord of peace, pour into you His peace. Pour into you His peace. It is not something you strive for. It is not something you earn. It is not something you work for. It is something, as Jane put it so beautifully, we freely receive as we posture and position ourselves saying, God, we need your help. God, give us your peace as we posture ourselves in that situation. The Bible promises us that Jesus will pour His peace into us. In every circumstance, in every possible way. And it says the tangible presence of God will be with us. Through every storm, through every valley, through every heartache and heartbreak, through all doubt, all fear, all anxiety, through every season, through every age and stage of life, no matter how big or how small it might be, God's desire, God's promise, God's gift to you and I is peace. His desire isn't for you and I to try and manage the situation. And for many of us, trying to manage our storm has led us into all sorts of unhealthy coping mechanisms. So much of the sin in our lives is because our soul is restless, trying to find things to give us peace. We look to addiction, we look to pornography, we look to drugs, we look to alcohol. We become obsessed with work, driven with the idea of success, all because we lack peace. Psalm 23 says that the Lord is our shepherd. And as we follow Him and not the things of the world, it says you will lack no good thing. And I want to tell you and I this morning, the solution to your problem, the answer to your storm, might just be freely receiving the gift of peace that He has promised to every single one of us. peace at all times and every way. And Paul writes and says, the Lord be with you. Isaiah 54 verse 10 says this, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. This is such a picture. Leave the scripture up. This is such a picture of the disciples. Their boat was being shaken. The wind and wave was removing their hope, removing their belief, removing their confidence. And the first thing they questioned is, God, do you even care? And God says, my unfailing love for you will never be shaken. Because of my compassion for you, I will never remove my covenant of peace. And a covenant, for those of you that might not be familiar with the language, it's an official sacred agreement. It is a promise that can never be taken, never be broken, and never be shaken. And God is saying with you and I this morning, it doesn't matter if the mountains around you are shaking. It doesn't matter if the hills are being removed. It doesn't matter if your life is falling apart. I have made a covenant with you. I have made a promise to you. I have made an agreement with you that I have unfailing love for you, that I have compassion on you, and I will never, ever remove my peace from your life. God's made a covenant with you and I of peace. An official, legally binding document, a contract that says you will have my peace. As my people, it doesn't matter what's happening around you. Your world might be falling apart, but my peace will never be removed from you. King David writes and he says this in Psalm 29:11. He says, may the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. So when you say, God, give me strength, what does God do? He gives you peace. It is the peace of God that empowers you. It is the peace of God that strengthens you. It is the peace of God that gives you hope and enables you to move forward. Keep believing, keep trusting, keep hoping. It is the peace of God that he says, here is my strength. And he gives you peace. God, give me the strength to face these challenges. God, give me the strength to beat this addiction. God, give me the strength to break this cycle of sin. God, give me the strength to fix my marriage. God, give me the strength to find a new job. God, give me the strength for whatever situation you might be facing. And what he's going to do is he's going to say, here's my strength that's called peace. The beauty of Psalm 29 is it's a fascinating chapter. The whole chapter, David is writing about a storm. So when he says, Lord, give strength to your people, Lord, bless your people with peace, Psalm 29, the whole psalm is about a raging storm with raging waves and wind, about lightning and thunder. And observing the storm, God, David writes and says, bless us with peace. David, witnessing and observing a storm, writing about the storm, he cries out, don't remove the storm, God. Give us peace within the storm. Bless us with peace. Numbers 6, verse 24 to 26. It's such a beautiful passage of scripture. And this is a blessing that is spoken over us as God's people. And it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. God, show me your face. God, I want to know you. I want to see you. And what he does is he comes and says, okay, here I am. Peace. God, I want to see you face to face. God, show me your glory. Okay, I will, yeah. Peace. That's his portion. That's his promise. We sometimes want to make things so overcomplicated. And he says, when you see me rightly, what you will receive is peace. He gives us and blesses us with his peace. He keeps us, sustains us, and strengthens us with his peace. He upholds us with his peace. In his presence we find peace, looking face to face with God. He gives us peace. The prophet Isaiah writes and says this in Isaiah 26, verse 3. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts you. God will keep you and I in perfect peace, not a portion of peace or a degree of peace, or not peace in certain areas or certain aspects of our life. Perfect peace for those whose mind stays on him. Another translation says this, perfect, absolute peace surrounds those whose imaginations are consumed with God and they confidently trust you. The key for you and I to have peace in our lives is it can only be found in the person of Jesus. It can only be found in relationship with him. There is no peace outside of that. And then we read in Scripture that as we see him face to face, as we pray, as we worship, as we read our word, as we encounter and engage with God, his gift to us is peace. And then Isaiah says to us that when we fix our minds on God, when we consume our thoughts with God, when we keep our eyes on God, his promise for you and I is not just peace, but absolute, complete, total, perfect peace. He surrounds us with his peace. We might be in the middle of a storm, but as we fix our minds on God and his promises and his nature, as we remind ourselves he cares, he has an unfailing love for me, he has compassion for me, as we remind ourselves of his nature and how he feels about us, all of a sudden the peace of God not only dwells within us, but it surrounds us. It encompasses us. It creates its own environment and climate within the world around us. We need to fix our eyes on him, fix our mind on him, turn our face toward him, and his promise and his portion and his blessing and the gift that he gives you and I is peace. Paul writes this in Philippians 4 verse 6 and he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, and the peace of God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What Paul is saying here, Paul says, you and me, don't be anxious for anything. Don't be fearful for anything. Don't stress for anything. And it's not a suggestion, it's an instruction, it's a command. Paul is looking and saying, don't worry what's going on around you. I'm telling you, don't be anxious. I'm telling you, don't be fearful. I'm telling you, don't be depressed. I'm telling you, don't look to the wind and the waves. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your mind focused on him. What Paul's really saying to you and I is no matter what you're facing, no matter where you are, let nothing steal your peace. Let nothing take away your peace. No situation, no circumstance, no setback or disappointment. Let nothing take away from you the gift of peace, the promise of peace, the blessing of peace that God has given to each and every one of us. Paul says to you and I, pray with thanksgiving. Pray with hope. Pray with expectation. Bring your petitions. Bring your burdens. Bring your cares. Bring whatever it is you're carrying. Bring it to the Lord. Bring your bag and empty it at the Lord's feet. But do it with great hope and great expectation, with thanksgiving, knowing that God cares, knowing that God hears, knowing that God is near, knowing that He sees you. And as we do this, as we fight to keep our peace, as we allow nothing to steal our peace, as we pray with thanksgiving and empty and pour out our burdens at the feet of Jesus, as we let God know what we want, know what we need, engage with Him face to face. Paul promises and says this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. There is a place of peace that is a promise for you and I that defies logic. There is a place of peace that God has called you and I to live in and to occupy that surpasses understanding. That the world would look at you and go, how do you possibly have peace? Why aren't you freaking out? Why aren't you stressed? Why aren't you worried? It is a peace that we step into as we engage face to face with God, as we place our burdens at His feet. It is a gift we received, a blessing we are given, a promise we inherit, and a place that we stand in called peace. And the world around us looks at it and says, this doesn't make sense, because our peace that we're finding in our storm, our peace that we're finding in every situation, surpasses understanding, defies logic. The peace of God doesn't make sense to the world around us, because they can't see what we see. They don't know that there's someone in our boat with us. They can't hear what we hear. They don't know that there's someone standing alongside us going, peace, be still. There is a promise for you and I this morning. Whatever you might be facing, there is a peace from God that He is wanting to give each and every one of us that surpasses understanding. That not only will we be at peace with the world around us, but we'll be at peace with the world within us. We'll be at peace within the storm, but also at peace with God. Knowing He is for us, knowing He is with us, and knowing that He has a gift called peace for each and every one of us. And this is what I believe the Lord is wanting to do for us this morning. He's wanting to come to you and say, here's my peace, and to pour it over every anxiety, to pour it over every fear, to pour it over every condemnation, every accusation, every area in your life where the enemy is telling you you're not good enough, every area where you have sin and you're battling to break free. God wants to come to you this morning and say, here's my peace. And pour it over you. And pour it into you. A peace that surpasses all understanding. And I believe if we posture and position ourselves this morning in humility and just go, God, here I am. I need help. I'm in a storm, God. I've tried to fix it. I've tried to manage it. I can't do it. Pour your peace into me. Pour your peace over me. The final passage of Scripture I want to share today is this. John 20, verse 21. And this is Jesus talking to His disciples. Jesus says, so beautiful. Jesus said to them, what? Again. He said again. Sometimes we've got to fight for our peace. And that fight, what it is, the disciples had to do it. Do you even care? That's the fight of faith. To believe that He cares. To believe that He is with us. To believe that He is for us. To believe that peace is the promise that He has for every single one of us. And Jesus said to the disciples again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And I believe this morning that God is wanting to send us out of this place this morning as people marked and transformed by the peace of God, as people radically changed, empowered, and equipped for every storm that my life might throw at you. He is sending us out into the world where He promises us tribulation, where He promises us storms. He's sending us out into circumstances and situations. But He's sending us this morning with a peace that surpasses understanding, with a peace that will make you smile in the face of adversity. With a peace that when the mountain shakes and the hills removed, we remember His unfailing love and we know His compassion and we hold on to the covenant and the agreement and the promise that He has given us of a peace that surpasses understanding. Peace is simply this: the person of Jesus living in us and through us.